Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Ren with Dance With My Demons podcast. Are you looking to start a podcast? Then let Buzzsprout be the way. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show. Podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show could be online and listed on all the major podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and many more, just within minutes of finishing your recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. With Buzzsprout, you can create something great together. Follow the link in the show notes, which lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. Buzzsprout will send you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan, and it's sent after a second paid invoice, and it helps support our show as well. Buzzsprout, the best way to create a great and professional podcast. Later. What's up, everyone? This is Ren with Dance With My Demons podcast. Welcome to episode 6, and I've entitled it The Wonder Twins Unite. On this episode, I'm going to have a very special guest in a few minutes. It'll be my amazing sister, and we will be talking about our lives, both being bipolar, and how we manage this very crazy and strange world. So sit back, hit play, and welcome to Dance With My Demons podcast. Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Ren with Dance With My Demons podcast. This is episode 6, and I've entitled it The Wonder Twins Unite. On this episode, I have a very special guest. I have my sister. Hi, sis. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing very good. How are you feeling today?
Excuse me?
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling fine.
You feeling relaxed?
Yeah.
You ready for some fun?
Sure.
Let's have a good time. Yeah, okay. This is the first time I think we've ever really sat down and had a real conversation about both of us being bipolar. I know we've, over the years, we've talked about it here and there with things that might have been going on in the moments of our lives, but I don't think we've ever really like sat down and had a full on conversation about, you know, what life is for us being bipolar. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just, we just kind of just went about our business and did what we did. Yeah. Probably the first question that comes to my mind is when was the first time you realized you had bipolar? Do you remember?
I believe it was like around when I was in my 40s, early 40s. I finally found a doctor that was able to talk to me and fill me in on what it's all about. And
was there any one thing that kind of like led you there? Like I know it was for me, but was there any like one thing that kind of led you to that point? Like, hey, maybe something's not right. I need to, you know, see something about this.
Yeah. I was having a lot of lows and then some highs. The highs were out shopping like crazy, like a nut. Spending money that I didn't have, and the lows is when I was just laying around doing nothing, didn't have no motivation.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I know for the both of us, obviously, we've known each other our whole lives. But for the people listening out there, I know many of time I think we've called each other in the middle of the night, literally the middle of the night when we were going through our highs and just needed somebody to talk to or crack up laughing with because we just had so much energy. Or finding ourselves like cleaning our homes or apartments or whatever, or just doing some random shit in the middle of the night. I remember that a lot. Yeah. Do you remember when you finally did get diagnosed being bipolar and like, how did you feel about it?
Like any sickness or whatever, I guess I was feeling kind of confused and, I'm struggling here.
No, I know for me, when I first found out, like, I was already feeling like there was something the matter, and I didn't really know what it was. And I remember when I finally did go get evaluated and you know, spoke to a psychiatrist about it, I remember feeling like a sense of relief, kind of like, oh gosh, like it makes sense now. Like now I have a name to put to what I've been feeling, because before that it was just a lot of confusion. Like I could feel inside me something was off, something wasn't right, but I didn't know what it was. Like I really just didn't know what it was. It just felt like, I don't know, a lot of strange highs and lows at different times. And at the time when I got evaluated, I was at probably the lowest of my lows. I was like in a pretty deep depression. So I was really low. And like the audience who already, you know, been following me knows that, you know, I went and I got evaluated, and it was for a depression clinic, actually, not so much for bipolar. And it was the psychiatrist there that evaluated me for being bipolar. So that's what kind of set me off.
But yeah.
Do you remember like when you first went to the doctor, what you felt like, what was it like?
I felt the same way, actually. I was relieved that there was something that somebody knew about. And it was unfortunate that I had to get on medication, but I couldn't fight it anymore.
Yeah.
And I had to go ahead and follow, the lead on what my doctor had to tell me. And basically I just found some psychotherapy was a good thing for me. Walking.
Do you remember like I know for me, finding the right medication for me didn't happen right away. It took multiple tries of different combinations and different dosages to kind of get it. Was it the same way for you?
Yes, it definitely was. I was a guinea pig.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I felt like a lab rat,
Definitely.
It was frustrating, not having the right feeling that I wanted from trying these different medications. It was very frustrating. Was that how it was for you when you're, kind of the human guinea pig?
Yeah, it definitely was. It was frustrating at first, and then I got a little relief for a little while, and then it went back down again to feeling kind of low. So I knew it wasn't my cup of tea, medication-wise or whatever. And I had to keep going, just keep trying different things.
Yeah.
Until I found something, and...
That's the one thing I keep trying to tell people out there. It takes time to get the right combination.
Yeah.
It's not something that just happens right away. You really do have to be patient with it.
Yeah.
And kind of come to terms with the idea that you are basically, like you said, a human guinea pig. You have to accept that in the beginning until you start to get results.
Right.
I remember that. I've told the audience a lot in the past that I've relapsed, and meaning that there have been times in my life where I just stopped taking my meds because in those moments I felt like I was good, like I didn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Did you ever go through that?
Yeah, I sure did. Especially in the beginning when you feel like you don't want to take these pills anymore and that you felt dependent on it. But at the same time, it wasn't working. So I was frustrated, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to go with the flow and be patient. And, you know, you'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I know it's going to sound strange to people out there. What's one of your favorite aspects of being bipolar?
The highs. I love the highs.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing.
Woman, I can do anything, everything.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's the best part of it all. But it gets reckless.
Yes. You
know? It can get reckless. You know, you can overcharge your charge card or come home with things that, well, you didn't need all this. You know, and end up returning it all or whatever.
I know it. I know that feeling. Yeah.
It's
a crazy feeling, right?
Yeah.
I think in those moments, like, I don't know if, like, in the moments you even realize it. You're just kind of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of explained to people, it's kind of like, it's a mind game that it's constantly playing with you.
Right.
Like, you, in those moments, you feel like it's normal to you, but it's not until you sit back a little bit after it comes down, you're like, oh, crap, that wasn't good.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the worst part of it for you?
When you're dragging your butt and you just can't get out of bed, and you just, as much as you try and try again, you just can't get out of bed. And it stinks.
Yeah. It's a very heavy feeling.
It is.
Yeah, it's just like a...
Definitely. You go through that too, the experience of heaviness?
I do. I we know each other. I do. I always feel like I lean more towards the high side most of the time. I do have those down times, but I always feel like I lean more towards the higher side. And I know, obviously being brother and sister, I know you've kind of always had those lower times being really heavy on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, those kind of can be really tough.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Yeah. What's it like explaining to people around us who don't know what we go through? What's it like for you? Like, how do you deal with that?
The people that count are mostly, like, even my family, like my parents, our parents, they don't really understand it. They're trying to realize that, wow, there's two of us that's like the same way. And I mean, mom's been reading things and I've been bringing stuff to her to read and stuff, but I don't know if she really understands it. I mean, I think she does now with the highs and the lows. Not the highs so much, the lows. But I don't know, most people kind of know what depression is. But when it comes down to being bipolar, I don't think they get that, you know?
I agree. I think people like who don't know us personally, obviously our family knows us. So like you said, like I think they get it to an extent.
And
I think they really want to get it, but it's difficult for them because it's not something they can visibly see. You know what I mean? It's not like, like a cut on your arm and you can see, you can put a Band-Aid on it. It's not that kind of thing. So it makes it difficult, I think, for them at times to fully understand it. But the one thing I will say, thankfully, is that mom and dad and obviously our brother and sister have always been very supportive, very understanding.
Right.
Even if they didn't get it, they've always been very supportive of us and always had our back. Yeah. What's it like been, like when you first got into a relationship again after a period of time going through bipolar and, you know, putting yourself out there again and getting a relationship and having to tell that person you're with that this is what you're going through? Do you remember that? Or having gone through that?
Yeah, I have. Thinking that they didn't think I was going through that. They were in more denial than I was. They just felt, you know, this happy-go-lucky person is always like this. How can you say you're that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And until something happens, then I start feeling the lows, and then they see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they, you know, I don't think they, when they look at it, like, I think when they meet us, they see us a certain way.
Right.
Generally in an upbeat kind of way, because that's, in general, that's who we are. That's who you and I are. We're very positive and happy-go-lucky and motivated people.
Right.
It's not until we go through those little episodes where they're like, oh, okay, I finally see something.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's been difficult for me in my past in dating. Dating people, they didn't always get it. I think they had the best of intentions, but they really didn't get it. And then as time went on and they started to see the lows and the things that were a little off, I think it made them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't deal. And, you know, usually at that time is when they recognize, okay, maybe it's time to end a relationship. I'm fortunate now, you know, being with Jackie, that she's been very understanding and open to it and helpful with it. It's, you know, obviously, you know, it's not easy. When you finally have somebody who's finally supportive and gets it, it's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has it been like that for you in your most recent relationship?
Yes, yes. He's very understanding.
We're going to take a break real quick and we'll be right back. Hang in there. Stay tuned. Okay, everybody, welcome back. We're back to the second half of our interview with my sister. And where did we leave off? Oh, about relationships. So you were saying about how your current relationship, he's really understanding. How's it been for him, like, when he first found out? Do you remember?
He didn't think I was bipolar. He just felt, you know, that it was out of the ordinary that I had my downs and my ups. I had more ups and downs when I started our relationships.
Yeah.
And we just...
Was there like a conversation you guys had, or did you... Like, did you actually...
We still have conversations about it. He still feels I'm not, but...
Yeah.
But he understands that I am.
Tough. It's tough. I know we've said it to each other a million times. Like, unless you have it, like, you just don't get it.
Right.
So, and I can understand how, you know, he must feel like he can't... He doesn't see it the way we see it. He doesn't have to live in our skin, you know? So it's very different how, you know, the outsiders view it. Do you remember the kids? Like, I remember when I first told Ashley, Josh, and it was mainly Ashley and Josh first and then Adi much later about it. And they were very understanding and very cool about it. Do you remember when you first told Melissa or Emily, or how it was?
family was too small to understand what I was going through in the wake of what I was going through. Unfortunately, Melissa, she understood, but she tried to help, but, you know, only professionals can really help out. She was very supportive, I have to say that.
Yeah.
And Emily was, I don't know, I'm not sure if she did understand or not. I never really sat down and told her that I had bipolar depression and stuff like that. She knew I had depression, but she didn't understand it and why,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But for the most part, you know, now in my 60s, you know, but he seems to know what's going on in this world, you know.
Yeah. How has it been for you, like, since COVID? Because I know for me, it was very kind of strange. Because it kind of changed my whole world. There's things, you know, I'm so used to a routine that it kind of changed things. Like, thank God for work, that part stayed the same, but everything else about my life kind of changed, and it kind of disrupted me a little bit. How did it affect you at all going through this COVID period?
Yeah, because I'm not working, so I'm stuck at home more or less more often than I usually am. But I did find a way to get out, and even if it was in my car, I took long rides to mentally get me through it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it was depressing, you know, to go through all this whole COVID thing for a whole year. Or is it 2 years now?
No, it's been a year. Yeah.
A year?
Feels like 2 years.
It felt like it was forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, it's been weird. I mean, obviously the world's been weird since all this happened, but it's just a very uneasy feeling for me. Like, I miss doing so many things, and it throws me off, throws me off balance a little bit,
mm-hmm.
not being able to do certain things in my life. I do miss that. But do you ever fear, like, I know I have, do you ever fear, like, having bipolar might affect the kids in the future?
Of course, you know, you hope and pray that they don't go through what you've been going through all this time. I mean, like I said, I've been dealing with depression since my teens.
Yeah.
So, you know, I paid more attention to my girls about it, especially when they were going through their teens and stuff.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I still, you know, I check in with the kids, and we've had conversations. I know Josh and I recently had a conversation about it where he was questioning a little bit. I guess he was experiencing some feelings that made him question whether or not he may be or may be dealing with it in some way. And I just kind of, you know, recommended to him that, you know, he'd be evaluated if he's feeling that way. You know, it's... I wish I could give them an answer, but, you know, obviously I'm not a doctor, so it's best, you know, to be seen by a doctor and let them tell you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I would definitely recommend that. You know, and then you go through denial, too, because I remember going through my denial.
Yeah.
I want to go back to that doctor, so I checked with another doctor, and they all had the same answer, you know.
Yeah. I think I never really had too much of the denial aspect of it, but I did struggle a lot with the medication because I was never like a person who wanted to take pills. So I always struggled with that. Like you don't want to, you know what I mean?
Right.
When you're feeling great, you know, it plays a trick on you, and it's like it's telling you you don't need it anymore. And that's when you kind of, you know, like for me, like I relapse, and then it's like, and you have to start all over again. And it's this weird roller coaster ride it takes you on.
Right.
You know, it's crazy, you know. I try to tell people out there, because I think there's so many misunderstandings about it. People generally think crazy when they hear bipolar, you know, and or they gravitate towards what they see on TV, which is generally the worst case scenario. I think they picture people with bipolar being murderers or whatever, you know, and obviously that's not the case, you know. That's the extreme case of what people see, but, you know, we can honestly tell them that that's not the case. You know, it's just something we deal with, you know.
On an everyday basis.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, is there something, like on your daily basis, is there stuff that you still struggle with when it comes to bipolar?
The weather. The weather plays a big part of my life. I feel the sun helps me out more than anything. And this is not a good season right now. I mean, the spring is coming, don't get me wrong, but it's rainy days that gets me down and stuff like that.
Yeah, I felt that way when we were leaving summer, going into like fall and winter.
Yeah.
I felt it then. Kind of weighed on me, and then I started to feel it again recently when we started changing from the colder. Now we're going into the warmer. I had a few days there where I was a little off. It threw me off a little bit.
Yeah,
that whole feeling. If there was anything that you could, because one of the big things I try to tell people, we're trying to end the stigma of how people view bipolar and the whole thing of crazy and everything. If there was one thing you could tell the world to help get rid of that stigma, what would you say?
Good question. I would think people should go out and get tested, not tested, but you know what I mean?
Evaluated, yeah.
Evaluated much quicker than you know, than we did. You know, it took us forever before we finally realized that we, you know, were normal.
Yeah.
We're normal, just like everybody else that has problems or whatever. And, I would just tell everybody not to give up, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Never give up hope. You know? No. You can totally manage your life with a mental illness as long as you do that. Manage it. You can have a very, very normal and happy, fulfilling life as long as you manage like any other illness. You manage it.
Keep busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay active. You know, I know that's been very important to me. To always stay active. It helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be it for this episode. I hope you had a good time. It's always fun when I get to see you and talk to you and laugh with you. I hope you aren't too nervous. And
little bit.
I'm very glad that we got to do this episode, and hopefully we can do it again in the future. We can check back and, you know, let the world, you know how we're doing out there again.
Sure, no problem.
I hope you had a great time, and after this episode, I'm sure I will talk to you soon. Thanks for doing this episode with me, sis. I love you very much.
And love you.
I had a blast. Well, I hope you all enjoyed episode 6, my time with my sister. I had a great time, and I love having my sis. I know she was a little nervous, but we had a great time nonetheless. So until episode 7, I hope you all stay put. remember to check out Dance With My Demons website at dancewithmydemons.com. And until then, stay safe, stay strong in mind, but most of all, don't let the demons get you down. Later.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I'll be back with an all-new episode very soon. Until then, you can catch past episodes of Dance With My Demons podcast on anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast on. You can also catch me on Instagram at DanceWithMyDemons69, on Facebook, Dance With My Demons podcast, on X at DWMDPodcast69. And also, if you or somebody you know is going through an emotional or mental crisis, 988 is the National Suicide Lifeline. Keep that in mind. We're all in this together, and everybody needs each other's help. So until then, stay strong in mind, stay strong in heart, but most of all, don't let the demons get you down. Later.